Welcome to another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you'd like more information or sermons, visit www.brotherjimshaw.org. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for more contact information. And now, here's Brother Jim Shaw.
Hello, people. You know, you are a piece of ground. That's all you are. You're a piece of earth. Even spiritually speaking, earth is a place you plant seeds. What kind of seeds are getting planted in you? Now, the Word of God is a seed. And the Lord wants it to be planted in fertile soil. Soil that is worked up. Soil that is basically excavated. I mean, really moved around. When you drive into the Amish towns and you see the horses and the plows, and you see the soil just totally worked over. We really don't do it anymore. Now we just chisel plow it with huge combines. But you look at the old Amish, how they work the ground. They go about 12 inches deep, and they turn it over. Well, that's what you are. You are ground. And the trials and the tribulations work that ground. And that seed, the Word of God, gets planted in you. And it's not just some kind of religious lesson. It's not just some kind of teaching, some kind of lesson that you go to Sunday school for. The lesson might be fine, but we're warned Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Wherever you're hearing a lesson, that lesson better be in your heart. Because if it isn't your heart, it's not good for anything. Matter of fact, God's word, not taken seriously, is very, very dangerous because it could make people stumble. And it just becomes a form of godliness. And it just becomes deception. And it just becomes words. Even Satan himself tempted Jesus in the wilderness with the word of God. He quoted Psalms. Now, of course, he had no power behind it, but he still quoted it. So what good is God's word without faith behind it, without action behind it, without being a doer behind it? The Lord warns us about the differences between being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. And simply a doer of the word is when you quietly get that word in you. You don't have to drop what you're doing and go to the center of the city and hand out blankets. That's fine if you want to. But I want that quiet peace and confidence of you knowing that God's word is real is what brings us into realization of that seed is growing and taking place. Now, that seed, all right, that seed, I want to read a little bit about Esau. Now, Abraham, who the promise was given to, had a son by the name of Isaac. And Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And if you read the gospel, you know the story. Jacob really wanted that blessing. I mean, he wanted it from the womb. He was grabbing the heel of Esau. But we're told that God hated Esau. I mean, hated him. And we're also told that he was going to hate his generations forever. Now, why would God hate him so much? Now, you might say, well, because he didn't care about his birthright. And the birthright is his future for his generations. That could be it. But I want to give you something to ponder. If you go to Genesis 26, verses 34 and 35, two quick verses. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. In other words, he could care less about his lineage. He went and he married people of the Canaanite nations. Now let's go to Genesis 28:9. A little bit more on Esau. 28:9. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nehoboth, to be his wife. Esau was a train wreck when it came to his descendants. He married everything that God did not want him to marry. Yes, in a physical, what happens when you marry somebody? Well, you have children. You pass on your seed. You pass on your lineage. And God had chosen Abraham, and he wanted his seed to be blessed, and he gave him some rules. Stay away from the Canaanites. Stay away. But what did Esau do? He took the Canaanites as his wives, and then he went on to take the Ishmaelites as his wives. And this was in the physical. This was in the physical. And we all know that the Old Testament, even though it did take place physically, there was a flood. And there, Sodom and Gomorrah was real. These are all for us, Peter says. These, when we read the Old Testament, we read it for our example today. And what's the example today? Hey, spiritually speaking, watch what you connect yourself to. And that actually might be people. Watch your companionship. You know, even as a father, I raised 8 children. And I'll be the first to raise my hand. If I had to do it all over again, a couple of my children had a few friends. If I could retract the whole show, I wouldn't have let them in the house. No, I wouldn't have. That might sound unchristian-like, but no, it wasn't. Because they brought bad behaviors into the household and probably could have destroyed my whole household if I didn't put the brakes down on. But because of that, you know, I had some waywardness in my family. Because I didn't step in. And I actually was trying to be nice. I was trying to be kind. I was trying to love people in. That was wrong. I was told as a father, I am the gatekeeper. If I smell or discern something that ain't right, I'm supposed to interject and correct it. Now, I correct it in love, and I also correct it in the fact that I know those individuals are not my enemy, but the spirit behind them is. And I was confusing the two. I should have interacted. But what I'm getting at is watch your companions. He's a nice guy, but he's a drunkard and he's lost his family, et cetera, et cetera. Pray for him. Help him. Don't join him. Don't yoke yourself to him. You know, and I'm triple underlining that none of us is better than the next guy. We're told that we're actually said to esteem others higher than ourselves. But I hope you're getting what I'm saying here, that we're fighting spirits behind situations. We're fighting spirits behind people's addictions. We're fighting demons behind people's personalities. And we have to make the distinction. And if you're in a position of authority, I don't care if you're even a Christian boss at work, you might have to pray daily to bind up those evil spirits and keep them off of your authority, whatever you're in charge of. But here we have Esau. He fell for it. He married the Canaanite women. He married the Ishmaelite women. Absolutely everything that God did not want. I believe this is why God said, I'm going to hate you and your descendants forever. That is powerful, guys. He said, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And people I know, people say, that's sovereignty. And I think it's above that. I think this is a major part because Esau could care less about his lineage. Esau could care less about his bloodline. Esau could care less about his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. He went and probably found a couple of beautiful Canaanite women and he got involved in their sin and they became the Edomites. And to this day, the evil still exists. Yes. Guard yourself, people. Watch your companionship. If you're a parent, watch the companionship of your children. If you're a husband, watch the companionship of your wife. If you're a wife, watch the companionship of your spouse. And above all, watch the companionship of yourself. Who am I eating? Am I just in front of some crazy TV show? Guard yourself against the commercials. Guard yourself against the show itself. And if you're just sitting there for sensual purposes to just watch senseless, stupid stuff on the boob tube, watch yourself, because that will become a companion and it will get into your soul. Watch it. And we're given all kinds of examples of the children of God getting involved with the evil Canaanite nations, of which God called an abomination. And what has happened? What has happened? It snuck into the church. Snuck into the church. Deviants behind the pews in the Lutheran church. Deviants behind the pews in the Episcopalian churches. Deviants behind the pews in the Methodist churches. The blind leading the blind. And how did it start? A little leaven spoils the whole loaf. Let's love them in. Let them come on in. Everything will be fine. No, true love first is you loving the Lord. So you are going to put yourself not above God. Second love is loving your neighbor as yourself. And if you know it's sin, if you know it's wrong, if you know God does not like it, and you accept it, you are not loving your neighbor. You have become a judge. I am not a judge. When you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you aren't a judge. You're just a follower, gang. When I accept the teachings of Jesus Christ, I'm not making judgment calls. I'm just a follower. That's all I am. I'm a follower. But yet we'll be called, oh, you're judgmental, you're this, you're that. You know why we're judgmental? Because they don't like what we're saying. If we agreed with them, we wouldn't be called judgmental. But since we disagree with them, you're throwing every, you know, page in the book at you as far as being judgmental. No, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to see others through the eyes of Jesus, which is love. Ultimately, love ends up trying to squeeze yourself and squeeze your neighbor in that narrow gate. There's no squeezing going on in the wide gate. There's no squeezing going on in destruction, gang. The gate is wide that leads to destruction, and many there will be that go that way. No, it's a squeezable gate. And we're living in a world, gang, where you better not be a closet Christian. You can't anymore. All right? There's just too much sick stuff going on where you have to take a stand. There's just too much sick stuff in our schools, in our paper, on the internet, all over the place. As I've said before, we don't even know how to old-fashioned sin anymore. Good old-fashioned adultery and murder. Those are the old-fashioned sins. No, we're changing sexes. We're teaching our kids unseemly things. We've gone off the apple cart into outer darkness, because there is darkness. And then we're told there is outer darkness. I believe we are in the stage of outer darkness, people. And the only thing that's going to get us out of this is individually. You are an army of one. You are a soldier. And we're told to endure hardness like a good soldier. Take personal responsibility for your own walk in Jesus Christ, because that's all we have. And God bless you. And amen.
You've been listening to Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you would like more information or sermons, we can be reached at www.brotherjimshaw.org. That's www.brotherjimshaw.org. Or write to P.O. Box 690492, Vero Beach, Florida. You can also call 717-451-9767. Again, 717-451-9767. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time for another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. To view more messages on Brother Jim's YouTube page, please visit www.brotherjimshaw.org.